Virgil Crook,
Sunday PM, August 16th, 2009.
I've written down a few random thoughts, so it's not going to be a well thought out report. But first of all, I do bring greetings to those of you who made the trip back in 2002. What's that been, 7 years ago, I guess? Anyway, the people there do still remember you. And they, every trip we make, they ask us about you, how you're doing, and so on. And they always send greetings, so I've given you the greetings from Paraguay. We spent 3 weeks in Argentina and Paraguay. We spent 5 days in Buenos Aires. Actually, the trip was originally planned only for Paraguay, but the way that we've been going to Paraguay lately is through Buenos Aires. We used to go through Rio de Janeiro, and we don't like that. Huh? San Pablo. Well, I go through Rio, she goes through San Pablo. And of course, she's right, so. Okay. Anyway, wherever it was, we didn't like the connections and so on. So we've been going through Buenos Aires, Argentina, because there isn't any direct flight from the United States to Paraguay anymore. We used to go directly, but that doesn't exist anymore. So since we have to go through Buenos Aires to get to Paraguay, the saints there always want us to stop. You know, it's like if I'm driving to Kansas, I have to go through Fort Hays. So since I'm going to Kansas through Fort Hays, I'll just stop and visit for a little bit somebody that lives in Fort Hays. But of course, when you're flying, it's not that way. So anyway, we agreed to spend a few days there, and we spent five days in Buenos Aires. And I don't know whether you're fully aware of the difference in weather, but in Paraguay and Argentina, they're just the opposite of what we are here. We are now in our summer, kind of ending our summer, and they're in their winter months. So this trip was made in the winter, and it's the first time that Sharon has been back to that part of the world in the winter since we left in 1991. And we don't agree on everything, my wife and I. I know most of you do, but that's okay. But we do agree on this. We don't like the cold. Neither one of us like the cold. And this was probably the worst winter that they've had in both Paraguay and Argentina for a long, long time. So if you want to hear some shaky stories or about her shaking anyway because of being cold, you can ask her. those of you that haven't done any or much international traveling don't know the wonderful experience of going through the customs of each different country. You people can probably remember that, and those of you that do fly overseas some, you understand. Almost always when we make a trip, somebody down there asks for something. You know, we bring something. And lately it's been computers because they're cheaper here than there. And so this particular trip, I had two computers that I was taking down for two of the people in Paraguay. And I was carrying them both in one case. It's sort of a case about this wide, that high, and about that wide, and both computers fit in it. So I was carrying that, and we had other luggage, and we just gotten our luggage off of the carousel. That part you probably know. And we had two luggage carts. So Sharon took what she had gathered up and got in line, and I got sidetracked somehow, and she was way up there, and I was behind. And so she went on through, and so I came through to the checkpoint, put my luggage, you know, on the conveyor and so on. And so as I got to the other side, the customs lady, she says, that there's a computer in this bag, right? I said, yes. I said, and you got two computers here, right? Yes. I said, she said, well, are they new? I said, well, yes, they are. She said, well, do you have the purchase receipts? I said, well, no, I don't. I said, I'm just passing through Argentina to Paraguay, and I'm not leaving these computers in Argentina. Oh, she says, that's good. But she said, anyway, you got to pay tax on them. So he said, well, okay. I said, how does this work? She said, well, there's two ways we can do this. She says, you can pay me the tax on these and take them on and go, fine. But if you're really coming back through here, so you can leave them here, and I'll give you a receipt, and you can pick them up on the way back. So this is a battle of wits here. And, of course, I'm wittier than she is. So I said, okay, that's fine. So you just give me a receipt. I'll leave the computers here, and then I'll pick them up on the way back. No problem. Ah, well, go on. So what she was trying to get me to find out if I was really going to take those computers to Paraguay or not, because if I was going to sell them in Argentina, I certainly wouldn't leave them there to pick them up on the way back. Anyway, that was kind of a new experience because it's always something. It's always something when you go through the customs. It's never a pleasant experience. At least I don't recall a pleasant experience there. But the trip down was better than what it has been. You've heard me complain before. Well, I do complain. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't, because I do. And usually complain about the trip down. But this time, we actually had a good flight, good planes and so on. But the stay there wasn't so good this time because of the cold weather. We went prepared more or less. We took a jacket, and I took my long johns just in case, and so we had some protection. But the temperatures were in the mid-30s to lower 40s most of the time in BA. And remember, again, this is a concept that's maybe hard for you to understand, but the houses and the buildings there don't have heat. They don't have heat except for what's known as space heaters. Now, in the house that we stayed in Buenos Aires, they did have a gas heater, but it only heated one room. So anyway, we were quite chilly all the time that we were there. And a few days after we left, I wrote this in the letters on the bulletin board. A few days after we left, the temperature actually dropped to 3 degrees above zero. Now, that's Fahrenheit. That's not Celsius. That's Fahrenheit. 3 degrees above zero. That's unthinkable. I said that right?
Freezing.
3 degrees.
Freezing or zero?
Zero. What did I say? Freezing? No, Fahrenheit. We're Fahrenheit. We're staying on this side of there. I just want to make sure I got it right. 3 degrees above zero, not freezing. Zero. Okay. That's cold. And they also had enough snow that they had to get machines out to clear the roads. And I don't know where they got the machines, because it doesn't snow in Argentina, at least not in this part of Argentina, not in Buenos Aires. But it's the worst snow they've had since the mid-50s. And also, the H1N1 virus was very prevalent there, and most of the hospitals were full of flu victims. And large public gatherings were canceled. Of course, we didn't have a large public gathering, so we weren't canceled. In Buenos Aires, we had services three times a day. It's their time of vacation, at least for the school children, so they had some flexibility. But we had services from 4 in the afternoon till around about 9 o'clock or so. And in that space of time, we had 3 different services, and I preached all 3 services. Nobody else wanted to preach, so anyway. But we had a pretty good attendance. There was about 100 or maybe more that attended every night. And you have to admire the people there for coming out in weather as cold as it was. The church wasn't heated. It had a few space heaters here and there, but it didn't do any good. So it was cold, no matter how you look at it. Some of them travel a great distance, several hours on buses to get there. So it's impressive when you see the hunger that they have, and that, I don't know why else they would have been there, because we didn't do anything else but simply give out the Word of God. And in this particular series of services, there wasn't even a big meal. You know, usually when we have gatherings like that, there's a meal somewhere in the mix. But here, they did, and at a break time, they did give out some little snack items, but it wasn't much in the way of food, if that's what you were there for. So they came for the Word of God. And I've mentioned this before, and I'm always reminded that those people are there, and they have a love for the truth, because of one man, and that's Brother Carson Richards, who went to Paraguay in a very unassuming way, and his manner was very unassuming. But years and years later, you see the fruit of his faithfulness in giving out the truth of the Word of God. Then we went on to Paraguay, where it was even colder, and we had a weekend meeting for the youth. And it was a little bit different than usual, because the majority of those in attendance were from maybe 10, 12 to 16. Usually the youth that we deal with there are older than that, so it was a little bit different. And then from Monday through Friday, we had a workers' meeting. This is a meeting of the pastors and then those that work with them. That's why we call it a workers' meeting. It's for more than just simply pastors. And it consists simply of Bible studies aimed at the responsibilities and the trials and the spatial problems that pastors and workers face. And there were maybe 50 to 60, I didn't take a count, but maybe 50 to 60 pastors with their helpers there. And some of the young people also stayed to take advantage. But once again, this is in a setting that's very cold. In Argentina, at least we didn't have any rain. We didn't have any wind or rain, and the sun was shining, but still cold. In Paraguay, it was a different story. And I had been watching the temperatures for two or three weeks ahead of time to see what it'd be like. And according to my information that I got through the Weather Bureau, it was basically in the 60s, and even several days was in the 70s, but not when we were there. That was a different story. So I was kind of disappointed in that. But anyway, the meetings in Paraguay were held outdoors in a camp-like setting. It's a camp that you all went to in 2002. It's the same place and the same buildings and so on. They're all open. And again, I had to admire the willingness and to brave the cold. And you know, when I was standing up, I could at least move a little bit. You know, I don't move much, but I could at least move in that little bit of warmth there. But sitting in the seats, and I'm up a little bit higher too. See, it's warmer here than it is down there, right? And anyway. So there's a little bit of heat up here, but down there, not nothing. You're just sitting in their seats, and the wind's blowing. And if you look at the pictures that are on the bulletin board, you'll see how they tried to at least stop the wind a little bit, and did a pretty good job, but still very, very cold. And they do this, once again, because, now there was some food to eat, but they became basically for the Word of God. They come basically for the Word of God. And here we had four services a day, and I preached in three of them. And as always, there were a lot of spatial songs. And I don't know whether I'm getting old. No, I'm not getting old. Or, well, I don't know what is the problem. But when I was in Paraguay, and any time I've been there before, I've insisted that they don't sing more than four songs. I'm talking spatial songs, not congregational songs. That's a different story. I'm talking about spatial songs. And this time I don't know, I just sit back and listen. And in Argentina, one service was over 45 minutes of special songs. And well, I believe the Lord blessed it. I didn't feel checked of the Spirit to get up and say, hey, we've had enough songs, let's do something else. And even in Paraguay, there were a lot more than what normally I would put up with as it is. But anyway, I was blessed by it, and I trust that they were too. I'm always impressed with the enthusiasm and the desire that these saints show. And one service, one night service was held during a storm. We had a storm. You know what storms are. Except I don't think we had any hail. But anyway, it was plenty of wind and plenty of heavy rain. And in Paraguay, at least the places where I've been, when it rains, the electricity goes off. There's a button somewhere that as soon as it starts to rain, somebody hits that button and you don't have any electricity. And that happened. But the service went on for two reasons. They had a battery-powered amplifier, so we had a microphone. And the guy that does the recording records all these services. He was also hooked up to his car battery, so he could keep recording. And I had a computer with a nice bright light on it so I could see my notes. So I preached to people in darkness. I preached to people in darkness. But why I mention this is because at the time that all the lights went out and the electricity went off and it was raining heavily, they have a tin roof. And if you've ever been under a tin roof when it rains, you know what that's like. Anyway, at the time that this all happened, there was a quartet singing. And they were singing Master, the Tempest is Raging. Master, the Tempest is Raging. Couldn't have been any more appropriate. And I kind of thought of that as they were singing how appropriate this is. But the next day, the guy that does the recording came to me with just all smiles and just elated. And he says, you know that song we sang last night? He said, it came out really good. He says, the sound of the rain and the lightning and the thunder and so on as we were singing. Said, good background. Good background music. Good sound effects. So anyway, I didn't see anything good about it, but anyway. He seemed to think that it's going to make a great... I haven't heard it yet. Let's see what it sounds like when we hear it. It's a little hard to report on meetings because what we do is what you do. Sing songs, preach the word, have some special songs, and have fellowship between meetings. And that's pretty much of what our meetings consist of. Of course, in all the meetings, the Lord blesses. And it's hard to convey those blessings. I go to Paraguay for one reason, and that is to take the word and to trust that some spiritual work is done. And the bad part, if you will, about God's work is that it isn't always visible to the natural eye. A lot of times it's not even visible to the very spiritually discerning eye, because God does things that no one else sees, no one else understands. And if that's what God is doing, then I'm happy. So it's kind of hard to come back and say, well, it was profitable. To me, it was profitable. But I'm interested in the other side. Is it profitable for what we will once understand on the other side? And as long as I believe that's the case, then I will continue to go. The question that's always asked is, will you be here next year? Are you coming next year? And I always tell them, I never make plans ahead of time, and I don't. I don't make plans ahead of time. I wasn't really planning on going this time in July, but I felt of the Lord to go, so I went. But I don't make, it's not a routine thing that I'm going to do because I'm a missionary. That has nothing to do with it. I did have an interesting experience this time that they haven't had in the other trips that we've made because of obvious reasons. I think it's obvious. We go to just one place, and people can come to this one place, and we can fellowship and worship the Lord together in that one place. Because for me to go around, visit all the meetings in Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay, this is not an exact number, but at least 75 different meetings that we're associated with, that we have worked with through the years. And there's no way that I can visit all those meetings. But I did feel led this time to spend a little bit more time. So we, instead of just the usual 2-week trip, we extended it to 3 weeks, giving another week. And I did feel led to go to some other places after the meetings there at the camp. So we finished on Friday afternoon. And it's still cold, by the way. Maybe I turn the air conditioner on so they can kind of understand what I'm, put it on the coldest. Anyway, it was still cold. And so the next Saturday, we went to a place south of Villarica, about an hour and a half drive. I'm not going to give you distances because that really means nothing to you, because it wouldn't be very far. But I'm going to give you times. So it's an hour and a half drive from Villarica to this place, and we spent the afternoon having a barbecue, which is their favorite thing to do. And it doesn't make any difference how cold it is. They still like to have a barbecue. So we did. We had a barbecue, and then that night we had a service at this place. At least we're in an inside, closed-in building now, so it's not quite as cold. And then we stayed the night there, shivering. It's kind of comical. The owner of the house, the pastor there, gave us a space heater, electric space heater. You know what those there are. They're about this long. They have a tube, a glass tube in the middle. And the room we stayed in, the ceiling was almost as high as this. No? Man, it seemed like it to me. As high as the top of that part anyway. High ceilings. Big room. And he gave us this little space heater. Like it's going to heat that. It didn't work. But at least it had some good comforters, some good covers. So anyway. So the next morning, we went to another meeting that's just getting started. They're meeting in a house right now, and it's about another hour and a half drive. So we went there for Sunday school. Still cold. And we had Sunday school there. And then we were supposed to eat another barbecue and then go to another place. But the place we were going to go was a 6-hour drive. And this was around 10:30 or so when we got through with it. They had their Sunday school at 8 o'clock or 8:30. So anyway, we took off and drove the 6-hour drive to a place south, in the south part of Paraguay. It's called, in Spanish, it's called Colonia Voluntad, which means colony of willingness or of will. In other words, you had, and in the beginning, this is the way it was. You had to be willing to live there. It was a wilderness. It's not quite as bad now, but anyway, that's why they call it Colonia Voluntad. You had to have a strong will to live there. And I'll tell you the reason why I went to this place. And I'll read here from Philippians 1:5, where Paul writes to the Philippians and says that he prays for them for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And there was a brother that lives here that I've had very good fellowship with for some 37 years. And it's interesting, Brother Doug mentioned a little bit about fellowship this morning. We fellowship around the Word of God. And you might wonder why I make these trips or what, because they're not fun trips. but I've had sweet fellowship with these people, and especially with this brother. And other than the gospel and the love of the truth, we have nothing in common. First of all, I'm an American. I speak English. Well, I do. You think I don't, but I do. He is a Paraguayan with totally different customs. I don't know if any custom particularly we have in common. He speaks, he barely speaks Spanish. His language is Guarani. He barely speaks Spanish. I studied accounting. He knows nothing about accounting. He's a farmer. And go right down the line, there's really nothing that we have in common. But I spent hours and hours of wonderful fellowship with his brother around the Word of God. Amen. And that made me willing to take the effort to go and see him. The reason is because he is and has been for several years suffering from Alzheimer's. And he's very, but he didn't recognize me. He didn't recognize the brother that took me, who was his brother, his carnal brother, in the natural. He doesn't recognize anybody. So to me, it was kind of a bittersweet experience. I was glad that I did get to see him because I haven't seen him for several years. But in the state that he's in, you see, we didn't have that fellowship that we had in times past. And that was sad to me. It was sad to see his state. But it was sad that we could have no fellowship on the things of God. I read the scriptures to him, and it was like I was reading the newspaper in English to him. I read in Spanish, but anyway. Just as a what real fellowship is all about. We seek out those who have the same interest that we do. I'm trying to find here. Like I said, I just kind of jotted some things down, but I wanted to read you some quotes if I can find them here, because I'm not following my plan. Here they are. Some quotes that I thought were very good when I was kind of studying on the theme of fellowship. And I come across these quotes. This is by Barnhouse. He says, "There is danger of losing the spiritual fellowship by thinking that our social fellowship is the climax of all fellowship." As I said before, I don't know on what basis this brother and I could fellowship. His customs are different than mine. I was never in a social situation with his brother. And I think what Barnhouse says here is the truth. There's a danger of losing the spiritual fellowship by thinking that our social fellowship is a climax of all fellowship. A fellow by the name of J.I. Packer says, "The fact that we share social activities with other Christians does not of itself imply that we have fellowship with them." Ronald Sider says, "For the early Christians, fellowship was not the frilly fellowship of church-sponsored biweekly outings. It was not tea, biscuits, and sophisticated small talk in the fellowship hall after the sermon. It was an unconditional sharing of their lives with other members of Christ's body." That's fellowship. That's why we can be so different and yet have sweet fellowship. Because we fellowship around something that does not change. And John Bunyan has this, had this to say, "Keep company with the soundest Christians that have most experience of Christ." That's what fellowship is. The word fellowship means a partnership or sharing in common. Sharing in common. And we don't have a whole lot in common with so many of God's people. Who we fellowship with does make a difference. Who we fellowship with does make a difference. We recognize and we appreciate the whole body of Christ. But we don't have this kind of fellowship with all of them because there is not a mutual interest. One of the meanings of the word is close association involving mutual interest and sharing. Close association involves mutual interest and sharing. Mutual interests. I seriously don't have any interest in trying to keep saved. I don't have any interest in that. That doesn't interest me one little bit because I know I am eternally saved. Amen. So I don't have a mutual interest with somebody who is all the time trying to keep their salvation and doing whatever it is they do to keep it. But I do have sweet fellowship with those who understand these truths.